Okay, we're beginning here at 13 lines down on Kuf Aleph Amid Aleph. Motiv Rav Huna Bar Manoach. Rav Huna Bar Manoach is challenging Shmuel's assumption. Shmuel at the beginning of the Gemara said, Amar Shmuel, Vafilu Hein Teorim Niftim. That the Mishnah says that the Menachot and Nisachim that became Tamei, if they were yet to be Kadosh, Big Kli, which means they have yet to attain Kedushat HaGuf, then they are redeemable. Shmuel says it's irrelevant whether they're Tamei or not. The fact that they have Kedushat Damim is what permits you to redeem them. They're Kadosh for their monetary value. Monetary value can be transferred. And that can be done whether they are Tamei, whether they are Tahor. So now, Rav Huna Bar Manoach says, I'm not so sure that that's the case. Because the Mishnah says, Ha'ofot, Vayitzim, Valvovona, Ukli Sharet. This is the next list in the Mishnah of items, that these items, Shinit Me'u, that became Tameim, Ein Lehem Pidyon. They have no ability to redeem. Shelo nemar pidyon elo bebehema. Because the ability to redeem is only available to an animal. It's kind of what we ended off with yesterday, that when an animal gets a mum in it, that's what allows you to redeem it. Bishlama ofot kdushat aguf ninu. Ofot are no different than a behema. When you're makdish a behema, it attains kdushat aguf. It's ra'ur the mizbeach right away. There's no kdushat damim. It's automatically kdushat aguf. Similarly, an oaf, that is ra'ur the mizbeach, it will attain Dushat Aguf immediately. So I understand the explanation for Ofot. They have attained Dushat Aguf, but lo nemar ela bebehema. And the dispensation to redeem is only offered by an animal, not by an oaf. So I understand why an oaf, once it is Kadosh, there's nothing to do. It's stuck. You have Dushat Aguf. Dushat Aguf cannot be redeemed, and it doesn't have the dispensation of Behema. Ela etzim ulevona ukli sharet lifriku. Etzim ulevona and kli sharet are not Kedushat HaGuf, they have Kedushat Damim. By definition, they're not going to attain Kedushat HaGuf. They only have Kedushat Damim. El Alav Mishum, what's the reason you can't redeem all of these items? Because the Tahorim Ba'alma Ein Nifdim. In general, something that is Tahor cannot be redeemed. Bahani Nami, Afa Gavdin Nitme'u Ki Tahorim Damu. But these items, even if they become Tamei, have a status or are similar to being Tahorim. First of all, the Mishnah clearly says with regards to these items, they became Tamei. And it's saying despite the fact that they became Tamei, you can't redeem them. He's saying with regards to these items, why is it that you can't redeem them? They have Kedushat Damim, which should likely allow you to redeem them. Again, whether irrespective if it's Tahor or Tamei, but let's assume that they are Tamei, which should definitely allow you to redeem them because they can no longer be used in the way that they are now because they are Tameim. And it's Kedushat Damim. Both of those should allow you to redeem them. But we still say that you can't redeem them. Why is it that you can't redeem them? So Rav Huna Bar Manoach is suggesting that's because Shmuel's din is wrong. Shmuel said that when it comes to Kedushat Damim, if you're Tahor or Tameh, you can't be redeemed. He's saying that's maybe that's not true. Maybe only if you are Tameh can you become redeemed. If you are Tahor, you cannot redeem it. So then, these are Tameim. So why does that help you? Because the Tuma'ah with regards to these items is as if they are Tehorim. It's not really Tuma'ah. Because Te'itzim ulevona lav bnei ashvuye uchla ninhu. Te'itzim ulevona, Tumat uchlim is not relevant by them because they're not ochel. So then, the Tuma'ah that you're speaking about here, what exactly is the Tuma'ah that you're worried about that's going to affect these items that would then render them problematic or tameim? Ella, so what is the reason that they are tameim over here? Chibat HaKodesh mishabluhu uchla. There is a principle which, again, we bumped into before, we will bump into again, which is that the elevated status of them as Kodesh allows them to attain tumat uchlim, despite the fact that they're not uchel. Because Kodesh carries that elevated status, and the truth is that these things will be put on the Mizbeach as well, which is a form of achila. So the combination of those two items makes it that we render them as if they are uchlim. The etzim, kama delo mishapilu l'gzirim lo mitkashre. Etzim, as long as you haven't prepared them, that means whether it means to sand them, plane them, to cut them, to shape them into the logs that are going to be placed on the mizbeach, the gzirim have to be a certain length, they have to be a certain shape to be put on the mizbeach. So until you prep them in that way, they do not attain Kedushat HaGuf. Rashi explains over here, Tehtiv Raha Basar L'Rabot Etzim L'Vona. That's the Chibat HaKodesh. That's only if they plain them, unisaran, umyapan, the gzirim, the bikiyot, your fault, the chazul the maracha, that are roi for the maracha, which they otherwise would not be roi the maracha, according to Rashi, that regular itzim would not be, you need to shape them and have to cut them to the point where they are nice and can be placed on the maracha. So the Baalei Tosafot simply say that the axe or the kardom is a kli sharet, and that's what imbues them with this elevated level. It's not that it makes them ra'oi the maracha, it's that you've worked on them with a kli sharet, and that's what imbues them with this higher level that allows them then to have chibata kodesh and be mekabel tuma. Lebona nami, kamad lo kitsha bikli sharet lo mitkashra. So too, the lebona, until it's put into a kli sharet, which elevates its status to kdushata guf, also there, it's lo mitkashra. It's not available to accept tuma. Klisharet, nami, hobi itlo tara b'mikveh, since it has the ability to be neter b'mikveh, we don't see there tuma'ah as being some sort of tuma'ah that is irreversible. So what we're saying with all regard to all three of these items, there is a point along the way where they have tuma'ah that's going to be impactful in a serious way, and in a way that'll make it pasul. That's once they attain kdushat haguf. That only happens for the gzirim after they are already prepared. That only happens for the levona after it's put into a kli sharet. And for the kli sharet themselves, that'll never happen because you can always get them into a mikveh and be mitaher then. Therefore, as Rashi says over here, these items that shalom kitshem bikli, that did not gain that elevated status, then kinitmeu, when they become tamei, litriku, they should be able to redeem, tavlav kedushat guf ninu, they don't have kedushat guf, ele makshire korbanim, they're just facilitators of the korban. The reason must be that because the minchor nesek, that's the or, cannot be redeemed. These, even though they became tamei, they're not tamei. And Rashi says over here, that's not that they are tamei, but kitorim damo, but they're like torim. Rashi says they are torim the gamre. And even though they're torim the gamre, we say you can't redeem them, even though tuma came into contact with them. That seemingly is because you can't redeem something that has kedushat tamim when it is still tor. Which goes against Shmuel's position. Where it says, let us say that Shmuel is right. And if you are tahor, you can't be redeemed. The reason that these do not have the ability redeemed is because they are not readily available. They're not something that is an everyday occurrence. What we're afraid of is that people mark these things, and now they're in the hands of Hekdesh. Hekdesh is searching for this stuff all the time. They need these items. But then people have the ability to redeem them and take them away from Hekdesh. Hekdesh doesn't want that because they're always searching for these items. What we say is that as long as they are Torim and usable by Hekdesh, you do not have a right to redeem them. Even though normally it was Kedushat Tamim and it was Tahor, you have a right to redeem it. Here we're going to block your right in order to lock it into Hekdesh's possession. You've been Makdish it. It's not here where they're overreaching and saying, give it to us. If you were Makdish it already, and you dedicated to the Hekdesh, Hekdesh's not going to release it back to you because they really need it. And so that's what it is, the Lo Shchichis. Gemara says, Bishlam al Levona Kli Sharet Lo Shchichit. Or I understand why Levona, which was something that may not have been indigenous here to Eretz Yisrael, might have to actually have been imported, or was not easy to find. And the Kli Sharet, which were gold and had to be formed and shaped in the right sizes, okay, those things are things that are not readily available. Lo shkichet. Eleitzim, mishkach shkichet. Say, what about wood? Wood, you can get any types of wood. Truth is that Israel does not have huge amounts of wood, but nevertheless, wood was available. Itzim nami, kevin da mar mar, kol eitz, shenimtza bo tolad, pasul, legabe mizbeach, hilkach lo shkichet. Since it's easily rendered pasul for the mizbeach, means that if you find any worms inside of the wood, or any rot inside of the wood, then it's disqualified from the mizbeach. There is a shortage of wood as well. These items are very limited in their quantities. If someone's already makdish them, we want to keep them in the hands of Hekdesh. Therefore, we don't allow you to redeem them. And Ochanami, Torim that are Shatamim, you can redeem. Here, there's just simply a block that says you may not redeem them in order to keep them in the possession of Hekdesh. Amar Rabbi, Ishmeale l'Shmuel ha, the Tanya. Had Shmuel heard this braita, he wouldn't have had his opinion. Amapis tmimim lebedek abayit, ein podim matam elon mizbeach. Someone who dedicates tmimim to bedek abayit. This is something that's restricted by a lav, something that you're not allowed to do. which is that if an animal has the capacity to put on the Mizbeach, it's both an animal that goes on the Mizbeach, and it's an animal that does not have a mum in it. And therefore it's ra'ui the Mizbeach. What you're not allowed to do then is to be maktishit lebedek habayit. Maktishit for its monetary value, rather than its Mizbeach qualities. But the person did it anyway. It was matpis mimim lebedek habayit. He was Makdish, an animal that could have gone on his back, was Roy the Mizbeach, but he dedicated it to Berek Abayit. Ein podim utam, elo the Mizbeach. When you redeem them, they have to be then utilized towards the Mizbeach, a korban that will go on the Mizbeach. Shekola Roy the Mizbeach, eno yotze mitem Mizbeach leolam. Anything that's Roy for Mizbeach cannot be released from the Mizbeach. It's then locked into the Mizbeach. And if you redeem it, it must remain in the Mizbeach. Va'afa gav de kushat tamim ninu. What do you mean over here? We're not talking about Kedushat Mizbeach. We're speaking about Kedushat Tamim. Ein niftim hol v'torim heim. The reason that you can't take them out or you can't redeem them is because they are torim. Hava hadar bei. Therefore, he would have reversed his position. What you see from here is that even though these animals have Kedushat Tamim, we prevent you from releasing them to Chulim. Say, ein podim damel mizbeach. You can only redeem them so that the animal itself will be used for the Mizbeach. That means that the animal is locked in. Even though the animal now technically only has Kedushat Damim, nevertheless, since it's Tahor, you can't redeem it, you can't release it from Hekdesh's grip, and it now has to go to the Mizbeach. Even if you sell this animal in order to redeem it, you have to sell it to someone who will use it on the Mizbeach. And that means that Hekdesh's grasp on this animal is not released, and that shows you that you can't really redeem items that have Kedushat Damim that are Tahorim. So over here, the animals are locked into the Mizbeach because they are Torim. Had they been Tmeim and no longer Roi the Mizbeach, in Ochanami, you could have redeemed them because they only have Kedushat Damim. But over here, since they have now Kedushat Damim on something that is Tahor, there we lock you in, we don't release it. Then the Gemara says, Velohi, that's incorrect. Shmilei, Shmuel knew about this Braita, Velo Hadarbe, and he still didn't reverse his position. Lava Martatam, Kevin de Loshkeche, Lo Mifrake, what's the reasoning behind the Eitzim, Livonai, Klisharet, that even though they're Tohorim or deemed to be like Tohorim, we don't allow you to redeem them? Because they're not readily available. They're not something that we can get our hands on easily, so we blocked your ability to redeem them. Hachanami, came into Shkikhe Mumim, the Pasli Bebehema, the same situation is true here. Since there's easy, that an animal can be easily disqualified from going on the Mizbeach, because Mumim are very common, even with a simple, call it a cataract in the eye of the animal, that would result in a disqualification. They're not so common. And so what he's saying here is it's the same zera. The reason that we will not release you the animal once it is ra'ur the mizbeach, and we say to you, you have to sell that animal to be used for a korban, is because of the fact that there's a shortage of animals for korbanot. And you went ahead and you were makdishit, the shame, damim, which you shouldn't have done. So now once we've got our hands on it, Hekdesh got his hands on it, we're going to force you to only utilize it or push it towards a certain utility, and that utility is going to benefit us. And that utility is that you're going to have to make sure that it's sold as a korban and not just sold in general in order to redeem it. So this is the position that we were trying to impose on Shmuel. Now we have a counter opinion. If Shmuel is saying that anything can be redeemed for Das Kedushat Damim, now we have Rav Kana basically saying or making the distinction that we were attempting to show along, which is, if it's Tamei, if it has Kedushat Damim, it can't be redeemed. If it's Tahor, it cannot be redeemed. V'cheinam Rav Oshaya. Rav Oshaya seconds this view of Rav Kana. Tameim niftim, Torim, ain't niftim. Only saying that's Tamei can be redeemed for Das Kedushat Damim. Torim, that's not true. Some suggest that Rabbi Ushaya has the same opinion as Shmuel. So you have a machloket as to whether Rabbi Ushaya is similar to Rav Kahana or similar to Shmuel. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Kulam Tmeim Nifdim, Torim Ein Nifdim. Similar to what Rav Kahana said, which is, anything that is Tamei can be redeemed. Something that's Tor cannot be redeemed. Quotes, but there is one exception to that, which is Masirite Fashim in Chat Chote. The Korban Mincha that is brought as for a Chote, which is the Korban Olev Yored, that is found at the end of Parshat Vayikra, where you have, for instance, by Shvat Bitoy, Shvat Eidut, Tumat Mikdash V'Kodoshav, There you have a korban ulevi, a rate that is brought based on your economic capacity to pay. Either bring a behema, ofot, or a mincha. Sharei amra Torah mechatato al chatato. Because the Torah uses terminology which seems to indicate that you can't change the status of this item. What they're referring to is that the parshia over there offers you three alternatives as to what you can bring as a korban. In those three alternatives, it uses, says, Ve'vi'et ha'shamot Hashem al chatato asher chata. You're bringing a sham to Hashem for the chait that you did. Ve'kivah min etzon kizbasi ratizim the chatat. Ve'chiper alav ha'kohen mei chatato. From the sin that he did. Chazal darshan mei chatato, not to mean from the sin that he did, but mei chatato, from amongst the monies that he dedicated to pay for this korban. And then it says the same thing with regards to the birds. If you have the opportunity to bring birds, from amongst that money, you will bring a chatat. Then it says if you can't afford the birds, then you bring a mincha. And about the mincha, it says, al chatato, on the chait that he brought. So you have a choice here in the preposition that you use. If you're describing the sin that he did, he's bringing the korban to discharge his obligation vis-a-vis the sin. The Torah uses two terminologies. One case uses al chatato, on the sin that he did. And the other one uses mei chatato, from the sin that he did. So now, why is there a difference? Be consistent. If you're going to use one preposition, say mei chatato all the way through, or say al chatato all the way through. The fact that it changes that by the kisba, and by the torim it says mei chatato, and by the mincha it says al chatato, from here a chazal make a drasha, which is, what happens if an individual was wealthy at the time that he segregated out the korban, and then he lost his wealth, and he no longer can afford the korban that he segregated the money for? Gemara Darshan's from mei chatato, you bring from some of the monies that you set aside the korban ani. And similarly, when it comes to the birds, you make mei chatato. If you separate out the birds and he can't afford it anymore, you take it down to a mincha, mei chatato, from the amount that you separated. But vice versa, what happens if you segregated out a mincha, and then you got more wealthy, and you're able now to afford a better korban, then it says, al chatato. On top of the monies that you have for your year, add to that money, and you can elevate it. So that's the exception to the rule, whereby the Torah already permits you to redeem it, and then use those monies in a different manner. So the fact that the Torah gives you a dispensation of Sharei Amar Torah Mei Chatato Al Chatato, that dispensation offers you the opportunity, even when they are Torim, to change the Korban. So that's a unique case where you're allowed to change it even when it's Tahor. So Amar Rabbi Hoshaya, Shemati Pigel V'Mincha the Rabbi Shimon, Eino Metamei Tumat Ochlim. When there is Pigel by a Mincha, according to Rabbi Shimon, you can't have Tumat Ochlim. Because Ditznan, we have a Mishnah, the truth is, it's a Tosefta, should likely should be the Tanya, it's a Breita, Horla, Vikilei HaKerem. These are all items that are Isurei Hana'ah. Horla are fruits in their first 3 years that are Surbana. Vikilei HaKerem is when you have mixed grains and a vineyard together, the product of those growing together is a Surbana. Shor Niskal, some a shor that already has had its verdict rendered that it's going to be put to death for killing someone or being involved in bestiality, or was an avodah zarah, so the shor is going to be killed. Egla rufa, and egla rufa over here where it's taken down to Nachal Eitan and its neck is broken. Vitzipurei mitzora, and the birds of the mitzora, one is shechted, the other one is released. Upeter chamor, and the chamor that needs to be redeemed because it is a firstborn chamor. Ubasar bechalav, all these items have an issue of isurei hana'ah. So again, the cases have to be, when you're talking about tumat uchlim, you have to be speaking about something that can't be mekabel tumah, and does not have inherent tumah. So as Rashi points out, with regards to shor niskal, it's already stoned, it's a nevela. Nevela already has tumah chamurah because it is a nevela. So it has to be a case where after the verdict was rendered, but before it was executed, you shech the shor niskal. So that's the point where it's asur ba'ana'ah, you did shechita, so there's no tumat nevela. Nevertheless, it's a surbana. That's a case of a surbana. Egla rufa, again, if you break the neck of the egla rufa, it's a nevela, and it has tumah chamura. So again, here it's a case where you took it down to Nachal Eitan, which according to one day is Osarta, that's Mixer Asurban already, and then you shechted it down there. Tosafot does bring a second possibility that maybe the breaking of the neck of the Egla Rufa is classified as if it's the Shechita for that animal. It's Metaher Ota Midei Nevela. That's another way to deal with it. Again, the Tzuperei Mitzora of the two birds that are brought for the Tarata Mitzora. One of them is shechted in order to use the dam to sprinkle on the Mitzora. And the other one is set free. The one that is shechted, that is Asur Bahana'ah. And then the Peter Chamor, as Rashi notes over here, it's Asur Bahana'ah, Kol Zman Shelo Nifteh. As long as you don't redeem it, it is Asur Bahana'ah, the Kadosh B'Bechorah. It has Kedushat B'Chorah. It has a Lishna Achrina. Another view is, V'afilu Ayu Nevelot, Mitamei Tumat Ochlim. Maybe all these cases are cases where it is a Nevela. And because it's a Nevela, you would have Tumat Chamura, none of this would be relevant. So then why are we speaking about Tumat Ochlim? Going to Ika Pachot Nikizayit. Tumat Nevela requires a minimum of a Kizayit to convey Tumat of Tumat Nevela. The low chazi the tumat nevelot mitzareif the pachod mikabeitz ochlim lashlimo lekabeitzah tumat ochlim at least to convey tuma, and according to Rashi the Rabbeinu Tam in some places in Shas to accept tuma needs to be a minimum size of a kabeitzah. So what happens if you have a small piece of nevela that's mitzareif with other ochlim to get to the size of a kabeitzah? So then these items, even though they are nevelot, you could still be mitzareif them for tumat ochlim, even though technically they would have tumat chamura if they reached the level of a kazayit. But since they aren't at a level of a kazayit, they can be mitzareif for tumat ochlim. And then basar bichalav is isur hana'ah, according to one Tana. We stand not only as an isur achilah, there's also an isur hana'ah. Kulam mitameim tumat ochlim. All of these items have the ability to have tumat ochlim. Again, either because they aren't nevelot, the way that we explained all of them. According to the second view in Rashi, even though they are nevelot, if you have less than a shiur of nevela, they could be mitzareif to make tumat ochlim. B'shem Amar, kulam ein mitamin tumat ochlim. None of them have a din of tumat ochlim. V'moder Rabbi Shimon bebasar v'chalav shemitamei tumat ochlim hoil v'haytalo shata kosher. Since it has a shata kosher, therefore it has a din of tumat ochlim. So what you see from Rabbi Shimon is that unless something is or has the ability to be eaten at some point along the way, then it does not have a din of tumat ochlim. Tumat ochlim has a requirement, as we're going to see now, by Rav Asi and Rabbi Yochanan, my time at the Rabbi Shimon. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi Shimon's position? Mikola ochel asher ye achel. When it speaks about tumat ochlim in Pashat Shmini, it says, or describes the ochlim as, mikola ochel asher ye achel. Ochel that can be eaten is something that will attain tumat ochlim. Ochel shata yochol achilo lacharim koroy ochel. Something that you can feed to others, or you can give to others to eat, that's called ochel. Ochel shiyata yochol achilo lacharim inu koroy ochel. Something that you can't give to others is not called ochel. So over here you have all these items that have surei hana'ah associated with them. Since they have surei hana'ah associated with them, they're blocked from being given to anybody else or utilized by anybody else. The shor haniskal, nobody can eat the shor haniskal. Nobody can make it into ochel. You shechted it. Yes, now it's asur b'hana'ah. There was never a point in time where you could have eaten that animal. Once the verdict was rendered, then it became a shor haniskal. And because of that, it can't attain tumat ochlim. As Rashi notes over here, the behema b'chayah b'chezkat isur omedet. An animal, while it's alive, still has that status of isur. Do tumah nami lo chazia michayim. And it also can't become tameh when it's alive. As long as the animal is alive, there's nothing to speak about because, number one, there's an isur associated with the animal. What that isur is, we will get to in Chulin. That is a machloket Rashi and Tosafot. But the isur is an isur of Eber Menachai or the isur Ishachut. It's a new category created by the Balei Tosafot, which means something that's not shechted is asur. And that really depends on how you view what Shechita does. Again, we'll leave that for Chulin. But there is an isur on the animal. So the animal never had a point in time where it was able to be eaten by anybody. As long as it's alive, it's problematic. As soon as it's dead, it's also problematic. It has an isur hana'ah associated with it. Given that, these items never attain a status of ochel, and therefore they can't have tumat ochlim. That's Rabbi Shimon's view. The exception to that is basar v'chalav, because basar v'chalav does have a shata kosher, does have a period in time where it was mutar. And that's what Rashi says over here. Di taru lei kule yoma b'chalba lo mitzar achiv shelenu. Because if you soak meat in milk all day, that does not make it asur b'hana'ah, or necessarily asur ba'achila until you cook them together. The restriction of basar ba'chalav is to cook basar ba'chalav together and then eat that which is cooked together. If they simply sit together, so it's not even that they independently were mutarim, the milk and the meat, but even after they're brought together, they're still mutarim until the point in time that they are cooked together. That is why they will attain to matochlim, according to Rabbi Shimon. So it's interesting, Rashi gives the case of shad kosher like that, rather than just simply that the basar and the bakalav independently were mutarim, and they had the opportunity to be eaten by others and had shad kosher. That might relate to what the Bali et Tosafot say later on, but the fact that it had a shad kosher before it reached the point of Isur, that's not called shata kosher. Maybe shata kosher is only once it reaches the status of basar b'chalav it had shata kosher. Not prior to that. And that's unique to basar b'chalav because when they're soaking together, they are still mutarim. The Rashi and Psachim challenges this explanation because when basar and chalav soak together, they're not basar b'chalav. And that's why it's not a sur. So how can you call that shata kosher that's differentiated from them being independently shata kosher before they came basar b'chalav? And therefore, it is definitely a difficult explanation. Tosafot points out, according to this view of Rabbi Hoshaya in Rabbi Shimon, why don't we say that when it comes to an olah, that it should be something that is not mitameh tumat uchlim, because it's ochel shiyata yachol achil olah achirim. It never has a shat heter of achila. It was either alive, after it's shechted, it's kadosh, and needs to end up on the mizbeah. There's never a point in time where it had a possibility of heter uchlim. So the Bali Tosafot would say that that's not true because there's a different type of achila over here. There's achilat adam, and there's also achilat mizbeach. And even Rabbi Shimon will agree that achilat mizbeach has a status of achila for achirim, and that would then allow it to be mitameh tumat uchlim. And Tosafot backs that up by saying that by itzim and levona, even Rabbi Shimon would agree that they are mikabel tumat uchlim. And that's because the achilat mizbeach, which is re'uya for them. Because chibed HaKodesh doesn't really make it that it's something that can be eaten by others. It's only the fact that it could have been put on the mizbeach at some point that makes it that it had a shata kosher. And for that reason, it is deemed to be something that can be mitameh tumat uchlim. And so too by the olah. The fact that it can go on the mizbeach, the fact that it was re'uy the mizbeach, is a sufficient achila to grant it Tumat Uchlim, according to Rabbi Shimon, to have a Shata Kosher, according to Rabbi Shimon. So now, if we apply this to Mincha, Vav Pigel B'Mincha Nami. The case of Pigel B'Mincha, and this is what Rabbi Hoshaya is saying, according to Rabbi Shimon, I would have thought, if you make a Mincha to Pigel, Ochel Shiyata Yechol Achil Ola Acherimu. Once you mifagel the Mincha, nobody can eat this Mincha. And since it's something that you can't feed to others, therefore, it does not attain a status or the ability to have tumat ochlim associated with it, because pigel renders it a chiyuv karet for anyone to eat it. And so if that's the case, it's disqualified from anybody eating it at that point in time. So it was never released. Once it was made into a mincha, it was never released to be eaten by anyone. Iochi, basar b'chalav, nami tibugle, tochol sh'ata yochol achilol acherim ho. Wait a minute. Maybe that should be the reason behind basar b'chalav. You told me the reason that basar b'chalav is released is because mitzvah shata kosher. The Tanya, Rabbi Shimba, Yudomer, Mishum, Rabbi Shimon, basar b'chalav asur b'achila, umutar b'hana. He says basar b'chalav is asur to be eaten, but mutar b'hana. That's not the way we pass. And we pass it lo v'tevashel gedib b'chalev imo three times. One time to restrict you in cooking it. One time to restrict you in eating it. One time to restrict you in getting hana from it. That's the Uvipas, and that's the other Tana. But Rabbi Shimon's have a different view. Rabbi Shimon believes that Basar B'Chalav is only Asur B'Achila, but Mutar B'Ana, Shnemar, because he learns it from, Ki Am Kadosh Atah L'Hashem Lokecha, Lo Tevashel Gidi B'Chalei V'Imo. The preface to the Lo Tevashel Gidi B'Chalei V'Imo, which is about milk and meat, is Ki Am Kadosh Atah L'Hashem Elokecha, because you are a holy nation. V'Ahalan Umer, and it says, not the Halan, back in Shmot, it says, this is written in Devarim in Parshat Re'eh, this is read back in Parshat Mishpatim, V'anshe Kodesh Jiyun Li, you should be a holy people to me, U'basar B'sada Treifa Lo Tochelu, you may not eat a basar treifa, L'Kelev Peshlichun Oto, you give it out to the Kelev, Mala Halan Asur B'Achila Mutar B'Ana'a, when it comes to the treifa, when it comes to these items, L'Kelev Peshlichun Oto, you give it out to the Kelev,
of Kana Surbachila Mutarbana,
Zera Shava of Am Kadosh and Sheik Kodesh, that teaches you that the din is of Surbachila Mutarbana by Basar Bechalav. So for Rabbi Shimon, the reason that Basar Bechalav is Metame Tumat Ochlim is not because Haitalo Shata Kosher, because in the past it had a time period where it was Mutar. It's because right now it's mutar. You can hand it to your dog to eat. You can hand it to the goy to eat. You can have other people eat it. It's not restricted to other people. So Mar says, you're right. Chadavod kamar eno chanami. He has two reasons why basar b'chalav is subjected to matochlim. Both because of the fact that right now it's mutar. Chadad ochel shata yachol achilol acharimu. First of all, it's something that other people can eat. There is another reason why it should be subject to tomato chlim. Not because it's roi for some goy or somebody else to eat. It was even roi at one point for the Israel himself because it had a shata kosher. A time period where it wasn't problematic. So it's not only that it's achila that's roi for acherim to eat, but it also had for the individual who it is not mutar to eat. It also had a shata kosher. And therefore, it should be subject to tumat ochlim. So that's how the statement of Rabbi Hoshaya is explained. But he says, pigul by mincha should be something that is unable to attain tumat ochlim because of the fact that it never had a shata kosher, number one. Number two, it is ochel shiata yechol achel acherim, and it can't give it to anybody else. So Tosafot later on, in the pigel by mincha mitamei tumat ochlim, suggests the reason the Gemara here doesn't ask from the case of basar b'chalav to show that shata kosher does have tumat ochlim, and that should be impactful, is because maybe you could distinguish between a mincha and basar b'chalav. And that's what Tosafot suggests over here, because maybe shata kosher is only once it reaches the status of basar b'chalav it had shata kosher. Not prior to that. And that's unique to basar b'chalav, because when they're soaking together, they are still mutarim. Versus the case of the mincha, where there was only a period of time where they were mutarim, when they were separated before they were kodesh. Once they're kodesh, there is no zman heter or shata kosher. Meitave, b'shimon omer, yesh notar, shu mitamei tumat ochlim, v'yesh notar, shein mitamei tumat ochlim. You have leftovers from a korban that went past their expiry date. By kodshim kodeshim, that means it passed already a day and a night. Kodshim kalim, it means it passed the 2 days and the one night. Ketzad, how do you have a distinction where sometimes it can attain tumat ochlim, sometimes it cannot? Lan lifnei zrika. If the lan, the lina, happened before the zrika tadam, eno mitamei tumat ochlim. There it does not attain tumat ochlim. The reason being is that the psul happened before it ever had a heter to be eaten by anyone. The korban was a sur all along. Number one, because it was alive at one point, it was asur. Then it was hektesh, and needed the dam to go on the mizbeach, the zrikat the dam to release the basar to be eaten, and that didn't happen yet. Before that dam was put on the mizbeach, you let it go overnight. So you passed an expiry date before you got the dam on the mizbeach. That means this basar was never released. Since it was never released to hekter, or never had a shata kosher, that means that it's going to be something that cannot attain to matoklim, according to Rabbi Shimon. L'char zrika, if the notar happened after zrika, I mean the lan happened after zrikat adam, that means that the basar was released and able to be eaten by the kohenim. It had a shata kosher, and then you left it over past the expiry date. You let it sit overnight, then it's metameh tumat ochlim, because it had a point in time where it could be eaten, it had a point in time of shata kosher. Upigul, ben bekodshei kodoshim, ben bekodshim kalim, enu metameh tumat ochlim. Whether it's with kodshei kodoshim or kodshim kalim, pigul renders it that it can never attain tumat ochlim. Pigul is something that happens early enough on in the process by which it renders the item inedible from the start. You'll never get a release where you can be eaten. Pigul can't happen. Once the thing has a heter lekohanim, there's no such thing as pigul anymore. Pigul has to do with items that are either going to go on the mizbeach or eaten by the kohanim. Once you've reached the point where they either could be eaten by the kohanim or go on the mizbeach, there's no din of pigul anymore. You're too far along in the process. Pigul happens early enough in the process where there's never a release of the meat. Since there's never a release of the meat, it never had a shata kosher, it cannot attain tumat ochlim. Pigel b'mincha mitamei tumat ochlim. Pigul by mincha, you can't attain tumat ochlim. That goes directly against what Rabbi Hoshaya concluded in Rabbi Shimon's position. Hoshaya says, if I look at Rabbi Shimon's position, if you're mefagel by a mincha, there should be no tumat ochlim. Here I have a breita that explicitly says, tumat ochlim does apply to a mincha. How do I reconcile this braita with Rabbi Hoshaya's conclusion about Rabbi Shimon's position? Lo kasha. Kansha ita la shata kosher. Kansha lo ita shata kosher. Depends on whether the mincha was there as a time period where it was mutar. Or was the mincha never had a time where someone could eat it? That will make the difference. Echidomi. Dalo ita la shata kosher. What's the scenario? How does that work? Dak tashinu b'michubar. You were makdish it when it was still attached to the ground. As opposed to a behema, which when the behema is alive, it's a sur to be eaten. So then the only time where you can even think about eating is after shchita. But here it's an animal that's kadosh. And after shchita, until there's zrikat adam, the basar is not released. Because there's an isur all the way along. That's not true when you're dealing with inanimate objects. When you're dealing with something like grain or oil that are used as the ingredients for the mincha, those items, prior to their becoming kadosh, were mutar ba'achila. The behemah, before it was kadosh, was not mutar ba'achila because it was alive. And therefore it was asur ba'achila and it can't attain tumah. Grains, oil, prior to their being kadosh, they were edible. And they were items that you could have eaten at that point in time. So they had a shata kosher. So how do you have a situation in which there is no shata kosher? Zekesh taktashino b'mechubar. You already makdish it when they were still attached to the ground. So there's never a point in time where they could have attained tumat uchlim because attached to the ground it's not mitameh. So there was never a point in time where it could have been eaten. Velifrikinu. Wait a minute. Why don't you just redeem it? Because the grains attached to the ground and the olive oil before you put it into a kli sharet only has kedushat damim. And you told me that kedushat damim can't be redeemed. So you should be able to redeem it early on and then solve your problem. And that means that there should have been a shata kosher, because you could have redeemed it. Again, remember, this is all in Rabbi Hoshaya's position. So there was a lashon in Rabbi Hoshaya that says, Tameim niftim, torim ein niftim, shapir. If it's like the lashon that agrees with Rav Kahana, that only things that are tamei can be redeemed, but things that are tahor cannot be redeemed, then we don't have any problem here. It was tahor. And that's kedushat tamim, that's not allowed to be redeemed. By the time it gets the problem of pigol, it's already kedushat aguf. It's already something that's been put into a kli sharet, and then we're in a different world where you can't redeem it anymore. So there's nothing to speak about in terms of redemption. Elahach lishna damar, according to the other lashon Rabbi Hoshaya that agrees with Shmuel, tafilu tohorim nifdim, that even something that's tohor can be redeemed, lifrakinu. Why can't you redeem it? Early on in the process, you could redeem it. Mar says, so what? Then you could redeem it. Hashtami alo parik. You didn't redeem it. So it never had a shata kosher. It never had a time where someone could eat it because you never did redeem it. Why does it matter that you could have redeemed it? You didn't redeem it. If you didn't redeem it, there was never a point in time from the time you were makdish it till the time it became pigol where it had a shata kosher, where someone could have eaten it, where it was available for anything besides being kadosh and asur. It says, no, kaven d'ibayi parikley, since you could have redeemed it, the potential to redeem it should be meaningful because mainly the Rabbi Shimon, we know that Rabbi Shimon has a position. Anything that could have potentially been redeemed, we view as redeemed, as if it was redeemed. The Tanya, we have a bright that shows us this opinion in Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Omer, para mitama tumat ochlim. Para duma can have tumat ochlim associated with it. Ho v'ayta lashata kosher. Because there's a time period where it was mutar. How is it possible that a paraduma ever has a time period where it was mutar or had a shata kosher? It was a live animal. As long as it's a live animal, it's asur. You shechted it as a paraduma, it's already dedicated to be a paraduma. So that remains asur. Where was the point in time where it had shata kosher? From Ishlakish, Omer Ayer Rabbi Shimon, paranif date, al-gavi marachta. That is because Rabbi Shimon believes you're allowed to redeem the paraduma, meaning allowed to exchange it and then use a different paraduma, even when the para is on the maracha, even when it's on the pyre burning, you could still redeem it. So over there, what you see is, did he redeem it? The answer is clearly no. He didn't redeem it. Yet, Rabbi Shimon says there was a shata kosher. Where was that shata kosher? While it was alive, it certainly wasn't. After it's shechted, it's already a paraduma that is dedicated to being a paraduma, being that which is going to be burnt on the pyre to make the ashes of paraduma. Where do you see here any point in time where it was a shata kosher? The answer, Reish Lakish says, is you could have redeemed it. Since you could have redeemed it, it's deemed to as if it had a shata kosher. The potential to redeem it, according to Rabbi Shimon, is sufficient to be considered as if you did redeem it. That means now it has a shata kosher. So similarly over here, the fact that you could have redeemed it should render it as if it had a shata kosher. So the fact that you were mekadesh it by mechubar shouldn't matter. It had kedushat damim. Anytime along the period where it had kedushat damim and you could have redeemed it, we view it as if it was redeemed and it should have a shata kosher. So then, how are you going to explain digol b'mincha is something that does not have tumat oflim because it never had a shata kosher? According to Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Oshaya's view, that even Torin could be redeemed, there always is a shata kosher. It says, Achi Ashta, how can you compare the cases over here? Bishlama paro medet liftoti. The reason that you would redeem the paraduma, and it would be even a mitzvah to do it is, shimatza cheret na'ahai mena mitzvah liftota. If you find a better paraduma, a more beautiful paraduma, there's a mitzvah to redeem the one that you already worked on, and then exchange it onto the new one, so that it can be used as a paraduma. There, you would say that it is a positive thing, something that we would encourage you to do. Elohani minachot, mitzvah liftotan? Why is there any mitzvah to redeem the mincha? There's nothing wrong with mincha. It's totally kasher. It is tahor. There's no reason to redeem it. So where does Rabbi Shimon say, ki'ilu niftate, as if it was redeemed? In a case where, had you had the opportunity to redeem it, it would be a mitzvah to redeem it. There we look at it as if redeemed. But by a mincha, when there's no reason to say that it's as if redeemed, since there's no mitzvah to redeem it, there's no reason to say that it's as if redeemed. It says, wait a minute, ba'alam lifnei zrika, the mitzvah, the mizrike. Wait a minute, in the case where you left it overnight before you did zrikat adam, there is a mitzvah to do zrikat adam. You're supposed to do the zrikat adam, so this item can be eaten and will be kasher. Ve'id ba'izarak. And you had the opportunity to do zrikat adam. And despite that, it says that it's not mitamei tumat ochlim. Here's a case where you had basar that was not available to be eaten because the zrikat adam was not done. And before you ever get the zrikat adam done, it goes overnight and it passes the point of minah, passes the expiry date, so it never had a shatet there. Why is that true? During the day, when they shechted the animal, and they had the basar, and they had the opportunity to do zrikat adam, there you could have said, kol amei zaruk kezaruk dami. Anything that's ready to be zaruk should be as if zaruk, and that should be classified as if it has a shat hakosher. Where it says, hachamai skinu shalaita shahut bayom lemizrukei. He shechted the animal immediately before shkiyah. Moments before shkiyah, he shechted the animal, so there was never any opportunity to do zrikat adam. Aval, from there you would conclude, Haikala Shaud Bayom, if there was time remaining in the day, what would be the din? Tamei Tumat Ochlim. Then it would be Tamei Tumat Ochlim, because it did have the opportunity to be Zaruk. Since it had the opportunity to have Zrikat Adam done, it's as if it had Shata Kosher. So it says, Atatani, then in the Braita that we brought before, where you distinguish between La Nachar Zrika, Tamei Tumat Ochlim, if the lina happened after zrikat adam, then it is mitamei tumat ochlim. Liflog bedida is what the Gemara says in many places. Make a finer distinction. Liflog v'litnei bedida. Internally, you could have created a much finer distinction, which would have given you much more insight. B'me dvarim amurim. When is it true that it doesn't have tumat ochlim? Shalaita shad bayom. When it didn't have enough time in the day to do zrikat adam. Aval haita lo shad bayom. If it did have enough time to do zrika during the day, mitamei tumat ochlim. And then you would have said kal v'chomer in a case where you did the zrika adam before you did the lina. Certainly over there it had a shata kosher because you actually did the zrika adam. So it would be a kal v'chomer to the other case. And this would have been a much finer distinction and a bigger chiddush to tell us. It says, achanami kamar. That's exactly what it's meant. Lan kodem shir el zrika. If you had lina before it had the opportunity to have zrika adam, enu mitamei tumat ochlim. La'karshir el zrika. After you had the opportunity to do zrika adam, mitamei tumat ochlim, even if you never did the zrika adam. So when it says zrika adam in the braita, it didn't mean literally zrika adam. It meant the opportunity for zrika adam. If it was lan before there was an opportunity for zrika adam, it's not mitamei tumat ochlim. If it's lan after the point where there was an opportunity to do zrika adam, then there is the possibility of tumat ochlim. Gemara says, "Va pigel ben bekodshei kodeshim ben bekodshim kamim mitzvah the mizrakei." Wait a minute. You said for Rabbi Shimon that pigel for kodeshei kodeshim and kodeshim kamim that is disqualified, and there was never shata kosher, and therefore it never can attain tumat ochlim. But wait a minute. When you did the zrika pigol, you should have done a proper zrika. You should have done this properly. You had the wrong makshava and did the zrika with the wrong makshava. V'bay zorik, there was a point in time where the dam was available to do a zrika and a zrika ksheira. In the end, you didn't do that. You did a zrika psula. But there was a time period in which the dam was there, and now you're going to do the zrika. Had you done it correctly, it would have been fine. You did it incorrectly. But those moments before you did it incorrectly, the dam was available for zrika, could have been done with zrika. That should be enough to create a shata kosher according to Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, you should invoke the principle, kolo meizul izrok, kezarok tamin, as if you had a shata kosher for the animal. Despite that, it doesn't allow for tumat ochlim to take place. My love, the pigel bezrika. Isn't it a case where there was pigel bezrika? And despite the fact that there was pigel bezrika, we still do not say that it had a shata kosher. So Mar says, no, the pigel bishchita. He had the machshev pigel so early on that there was never a time where the blood was available to do zrika that there would be a shata kosher. He had the machshev pigel by shchita. That means the dam was never then had a point in time where you could have been kizaruk dami and been kasher. About pigel bishchita mai. If you had a machshev pigel by the zrika, what would be the din? Hakanami de metamei tumat ochlim. In Hakanami, it would be metamei tumat ochlim. Again, the Gemara says they make a finer distinction in the Braita. Adatani pigel b'mincha metamei tumat ochlim liflog b'dida. Instead of saying that the other case where there is tumat ochlim is by a mincha, say internally within the pigel of kodshim kalim and kodshim kodoshim. Be'emet dvarim amurim de pigel b'shchita. That's when he had a machshevet pigel by shchita. That's where there's no tumat ochlim. About pigel b'zrika metamei tumat ochlim. But if you had the machshev pigol by zrikat adam, in Ochanami it would be tamei tumat ochlim, because there was a period of time when the blood was available to be as if it was zaruk properly on the mizbeach. That means that it had a shata kosher. Pigol b'mincha, it's zrikalei. No, we need pigol b'mincha to teach you a special dinner, a chiddush. In Ochanami, had you read it that way, you would have been a kavah chomer to pigol b'mincha. But no, we need pigol b'mincha because it's not obvious. Daf agav to pigol b'kemitza. Even though you have a machshev pigol by the time of the kmitza, the komets b'mincha kishchita dami. Kmitza, when we parallel out the avodot that are associated with the mincha to that of a behema, we've done this numerous times, there's a parallel. Shchita is like the taking of the komets. Kabbalat adam is the equivalent of putting the komets into a kli sharet. Bringing the dam to mizbeach is equivalent of bringing the kli sharet to the mizbeach. The zrikat adam is the equivalent of the haktara of the komets on the mizbeach. So here, by mincha, shchita is the equivalent of taking off the komets. So I would have thought that when you take off the komets, since it's like shchita, and shchita, when you have a machshevet pigol by shchita, there is no tumat ochlim, I would have thought the same thing by the mincha. Nevertheless, afilu achim metamei tumat ochlim, hovayta lo shata kosher mi'ikaro. A mincha is different, and that's what the chiddush of the breit is. A mincha had a shata kosher before it became a mincha. It had a kashat kosher when either it was kedushat tamim or before you made the items kadosh. That had a shata kosher. So despite the fact that the pigol happened early on by the shchita or the hafrashat komets, that is still not enough to make it that the mincha will not have tumat ochlim. That's why I had to write it explicitly. Tosfot over here does question this comparison that the Gemara makes, because the comparison here doesn't make so much sense, because the shchita of a behemah is very different than the kmitza of the mincha. The behemah was a surah before the shchita, and now it's a surah after the shchita. That's not true by the komets, because the komets beforehand was not a live thing that made it that it would have been a surah beforehand. Because the reasoning behind the mincha is because it had a shata kosher, is not applicable by the behemah because it was living beforehand, and therefore neither was a surah, or it couldn't be mikabel tuma, and for that reason it doesn't have a shata kosher. And so why would you parallel these two? Although based on what we said in Rashi and the Bali Tosafot before, that by basar b'chalav it's different, which is that the shata kosher is only in a case where it already attained shem basar b'chalav, then by the mincha, maybe there isn't a shata kosher. And the chiddush is that there is a shata kosher by the mincha, even though it was never when it had the status of mincha that it had a shata kosher, but beforehand, and that's the chiddush over here. Although from the Lashon HaGemara, it seems to be that it's focused on the fact that kmitza is like shchita, and just like shchita doesn't have shata kosher, so too kmitza doesn't have shata kosher. And the truth is that they are totally different situations, because since the animal was alive before, which isn't true by the Mincha, and that's why Tosfot is bothered by the comparison or the Havamino of the Gemara over here. Amar Rav Ashi, Amitra L'Shmaita Kamei de Rav Nachman. I said this over in front of Rav Nachman. Now, the Balei Tosfot point out over here that it's very unlikely that the Girsa should be Rav Nachman, it should be Rav Kahana. And it should be the Rav Kahana who's not the peer of Rav Nachman, rather the Rav Kahana who was the peer of Rav Ashi. He says, Elaim Cain, you say that it says Rav Nachman by Yitzchak over here, because it can't be Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman was Rava's Rebbe, and Rava passed away before Rav Ashi was born. So it has to be that it was something that Rav Ashi said in front of either Rav Kahana or Rav Nachman by Yitzchak. Afilu teima lan mamash, even if you say that lan means literally that there was lina, speaking about a case where there was lan mamash, zrika mamash, and afilu teima de pigel bezrika, and by the case of pigol, it happened at the time of zrika, not at the time of shrita, simply the way that the Braita reads simply, nevertheless, diparik amar, ibayav zarik, lo amrinan. With regards to redeeming something, we do look at it as if it's redeemed. That's by the paraduma. Since it could be redeemed, we view it as if it was redeemed. But when it comes to zrikata dam, we don't say, because it could have been zaruk on the mizbeach, it's ki'ilu zaruk on the mizbeach. Rashi explains that the reason being, the mechusar b'diah, lav kemase dami. That lack of b'diah is not like a lack in something of significance. The varim ba'amaninu, because it's simply words. To redeem something is not an action that you have to take. It's simply an expression that you have to articulate. And therefore, since it's not a big maaseh, we can view it, if you can redeem it, as if you did redeem it. On the other hand, zrika tadam, that requires a full maaseh, and requires you that you take action and activity in order to zrika tadam, we're not going to say when it has the potential to be zoreka tadam, it's kilu zaruk dami, as if it was zaruk. And even though Gemara in other places says, according to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, from Shimba Yochai's son, who holds like his father with regards to Kol HaOmed, is if it is done, and he says that if you're Mekabel Dam over there and it spills, that has the din of Kol HaOmed Lizrok Tizaruk Dami, and he applies it even by Zrikat Adam. Obviously, Rav Ashi is suggesting that Rabbi Shimon does not hold like his son does with regards to this. Or Inami, Tosafot says, maybe there's a difference when it actually does end up on the Mizbeach. When do we say that Kol HaOmed Lizrok Kizaruk Dami? That's in the case Heched in Nizrak. Once it has the Dam Nizrak, Moder Ravashi Damrami Karka Zaruk Dami. Then we view it as if originally it was Zaruk. But in a case where it never ended up on the Mizbeach, then we're not going to say Kizaruk Dami. Or in a case where it never ended up in a kosher way on the Mizbeach, then we're not going to say Kizaruk Dami. So maybe that's a way to distinguish between that case of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon and Rabbi Shimon over here. But in the end, once you've done that, then all these braitot that we brought are not a problem. Because the braitot are speaking about zrikat adam. By zrikat adam, we don't look at it as if it's zaruk dami, and that's why there's no tumat ochlim in any of these cases, because there's never a shata kosher. Pigol renders it that it never met a period of time where it could have been kasher, and even though there was an opportunity for zrikat adam, that's not ilu zaruk dami, and that's why it can't attain tumat ochlim. Similarly, by the case of lan before zrika or lan after zrika. So even though you had shaup ayom to do zrikat adam, we don't view it as ki'ilu zaruk dami. Because you never did the zrika, and since you didn't do the zrika, we don't view it as ki'ilu zaruk dami, as if the zrika was done. And so therefore there's never a shata kosher. Since there was never a shata kosher, that's why it doesn't attain tumat ochlim. By the mincha, there's two different possibilities. There's a possibility that it had a shata kosher, and therefore we'll have tumat ochlim. It's a possibility that it didn't have a shata kosher when you makdish it all the way back from the time that it was mechuber the karka. At least according to the view in Rabbi Hoshaya that Torim cannot be redeemed, that could explain why there would be no shata kosher. According to the one who says that Torim are also nivdim, then you do have a problem, because we do say kol HaOmed liftot kipadui dami. But nevertheless, we said maybe that's not the case here, because there's no mitzvah liftot. There's no compelling reason to do the pidyon, and therefore we're not going to say kol HaOmed liftot kipadui dami. In that way, we reconcile all the different opinions, both of Rabbi Hoshaya and Rabbi Shimon, in all of these cases. Okay, we're going to stop here. 14 lines down on the top of Kuvbet Amud Aleph.